Welcome to the Real Talk for Government podcast series, brought to you by Government Marketing University, where we break down the fact or fiction of federal policies and mandates with Tom Suter, founder and president of ATARC. I'm Matt Langan, and for our second episode, Tom will be speaking about the $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package and what it means for both federal government and industry. And Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I think this is our third week of social distancing, so been crazy, but getting used to it.
Yeah, it certainly is kind of a new reality for all of us in this day and age. And thankfully, we all have remote technologies and we can record podcasts remotely these days as well, which is really nice. So let's go ahead and kick it off then. From a high level, Tom, what does the $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package mean for the federal IT community?
Yeah, I think for starters, we've got to look at the situation on the ground these days. For the federal contracting community and the government employees, I think you're kind of in three different buckets. Some of the agencies out there already have a robust telecommuting program. You know, you can look at a GSA. The transition is going a lot easier. You may have to increase your bandwidth or your VPN connections. Maybe Microsoft Teams is getting a little bit choked. But these are things you can kind of tweak up and get in better shape. For other agencies, you got a huge problem if you had a small or no telecommuting scenario. I think we saw it very, very early in this that one of the agencies actually said, while we were quarantined to our homes, they said that agencies were saying you can't have your kids in your house and present, which didn't really reflect the reality on the ground. So, and also some of the contractors at government agencies are now working remote. They were not supposed to work remote. They were like on site at these government agencies. So how do you do that? What if you have a call center? The idea of a call center is like everybody's in the same room together. Places like the VA or the SSA had call centers or actually physical places where you have to walk in to check services. So some of these agencies had limited, maybe some of their employees had it, some of them didn't, but they didn't have laptops or VPN access. So now I've got to start from ground zero. I have to get my hands on laptops with TIF card access. That's not that easy to go just get these. They're not in massive quantities out there. So I have to outfit all my employees that are remote now. I have to give them VPN access. I may have to credential them in some fashion. You know, what if I have a DevOps team? Now this whole DevOps team's got to figure out a way to work remotely when they might have been in the same place. I know like the USDA has a center out of Fort Collins that does development work. So all their teams are co-located. Now you have to go into a different aspect and you just can't just go on Zoom to do DevOps. You've got to like actually be working in a different environment. And then I think the third scenario is the intelligence community. And they're really in a tough spot because they have to stay in a SCIF area. And now that you have to deal with social distancing, they've had to alternate shifts. Some of them are trying to do remote. That's a big change for them. But alternating shifts have been the case. And sadly, I think some of them are not being able to have everybody work as many hours just because they can't get enough people in the building at the same time. So pandemic has changed everything the way we're working.
Wow, it really has. And you broke it down in many ways that I'd never thought about it, especially like from the SCIF's perspective there. I mean, that I've never even heard about remote working for a SCIF, but I get that is part of this new reality, right?
It is. It's just something that we have to deal with. And for the most part, in some of these really secure areas, they're just alternating shifts to keep the social distancing. That's their solution.
It's definitely a crazy time right now. And I'll bring it back to the stimulus package. So tell me more about when it was announced and is there a timeline set for agencies to leverage?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago now. They're talking about the next stimulus package. I think in regards to what we're talking about, government IT, they didn't really put a timeline. It's more like a best effort to leverage what you're doing. And I think it's important, too, that this is ongoing. This isn't, hey, maybe you get your basic capability up and going, but you know, maybe there's going to be different tools down the road that you can implement to help you do it better. So I think there's probably like a very big urgency to get a capability out there. And then as time goes on, you'll be able to tweak it up a little bit and get some new capabilities added.
That's awesome. And overall, can all federal agencies benefit? And are there key areas focused on, say, for civilian, DOD, and Intel?
Well, I think all federal agencies are getting some money of something just to help them to work remotely. A lot of agencies, and I give a lot of kudos to Mike Hettinger with the Hettinger Group. He's a lobbyist who does a fantastic job breaking down this budget. But I think that we see like the USDA, you know, got $35 billion. DHS got $46 billion. transportation and HUD, $48 billion. And VA got almost $20 billion, but $2.1 million for IT. So not a lot of this is going to be grant programs. So they're getting out money. Look at the SBA. They have to give out small business loans. It is a massive program, the $350 billion that they have to get out. So they're going to have to set up a completely new capability, you know, that has to go out there. And then a lot of these agencies through like GSA got about $295 million. And some of this has been almost $20 million has been earmarked directly on trying to get federal agencies to telecommute better. So you're going to have to find the pockets of IT, but I would definitely follow the mission and how are they going to do their mission when they can't even go to the office. You know, I think that there's a lot of issues. If we go back to those capabilities that we were talking about, how am I going to do security better? I've had my folks in the office. That's one level of security. Now they're outside in their houses. How do I make sure that they're secure? How are these platforms? I got to make sure that these platforms are secure. Am I using a FedRAMP certified collaboration tool? Am I using a collaboration tool? Some of these agencies are just now entering this. And some of the agency tools that they were using before might not have the bandwidth that they had had before. So you might consider something else like a, you know, a Zoom or something, you know, another kind of platform just dedicated to doing this collaboration.
Amazing. I'm going to go off script for a second. You know, we've seen a lot on the healthcare side of things. Like, for example, there's new and innovative ways for sharing patient data for COVID tracking that's being accelerated. And many things that you're saying here today, it sounds like there's new systems and processes that are obviously being accelerated in response to COVID. But do you think all of these efforts will change how government operates from a technology perspective post-COVID when we get there?
Matt, that's a fantastic question. I remember doing a pilot at the VA, I think about 6 years ago, to do telecommuting with your mobile phone. And it was almost in stealth mode. Nobody wanted to get that out there. They almost treated it at the VA like it was like, you know, we were testing a new cancer drug or something. It was ridiculous. Now it's like much more open to the remote worker. I like how the fact that they've allowed doctors to go across state lines, things like that. The VA has had a jump on because of this mission priority. And I think at the end of the day, it'll give better service to those veterans. So in a weird way, this is, I think it's going to accelerate. I don't think we're going back to the way we were doing things before. I think people are going to expect better services going forward. And this is the idea that we had with the IDEA Act, which was passed right before the government shutdown last year, is to get to your citizens better. You know, look at the Social Security Administration. You used to have to go physically into the office to get anything done. So obviously in their pandemic, we're not going to do that. So how do I reach my citizens in a different way? So it's really making people rethink their business. Not all of it's going to be IT, but IT is going to support it.
That's great. Awesome insights there. Yeah, it certainly seems like the world is changing for pretty much every industry and government included. And speaking of the industry side of things, anything that they need to know about what agencies have really jumped in and really what agencies are already accelerating connections with industry to maximize this new funding? Are we seeing any traction there?
I think so. I've even seen things you can tell, you can get hints of what agencies want on LinkedIn and Facebook. You can see the kind of positions that people are hiring. I've seen one of the federal CIOs, it's like desperate need for expertise in these certain areas. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out where things are headed there.
Excellent. Well, from my perspective, I've seen some from companies out here in this space that we work with, they are preparing very quickly to respond. And in fact, they even find that through the CARES Act, there's a lot of accelerated contracting vehicles out there to meet this need. And they're working hard to fulfill this need because one, it's an opportunity for business growth for them. And number two, it's a great way to support the mission in these challenging times. And at least from the companies that I've worked with, they seem to be really on point with this. But from your perspective, how prepared overall is industry to respond to these new IT demands for government?
Yeah, I think the industry is fine. It's like they're waiting for the coach to ask them to come in. I think that the good thing is they've loosened up some guidance on OTAs and SIBRs. And I think we definitely have a, you know, contingency contracting mentality out there. And by that, I mean, is when you go to war, you've got to do things much quicker. GSA has actually done a pretty good job. They've gotten some new authority to do some quick contingency contracting too. And I think that we've loosened that up a little bit. You know, we can't go through a protracted procurement like we would in the past. And I think that there's some good opportunities there for us.
You know, along those lines, we talked about how innovation could possibly, all the innovation that's being used right now could change the government in the future. Do you think this is going to change the overall procurement process in the future for government? Will everything be sped up post-COVID?
That is a great question. I think we've already seen last year, I think about $8 billion in government IT went through OTA authority. I think that places like GSA are starting to realize that we've got to do this as fast as possible. I think that this may really accelerate a trend that we are already seeing. I think industry has really struggled in the fact that they dedicate themselves to like a big procurement like JEDI, which is in the news every 5 minutes. You know, I think that you're not getting best pricing when you have to support a long procurement of 2 years. And we just don't have time for that anymore. I think pandemic has shown us that there's a lot of urgency to everything that we do. And boy, I wish, you know, it's like anything else. I wish a lot of the federal government was more prepared. I'm sure they're saying the same thing, that when pandemic would roll around, we would have been in better shape. You know, and another thing, I think that we're seeing this IT modernization trend. This is what we've been talking about for a few years now. And I think that we're really finding out these deficient systems, they don't work well in a pandemic. You know, getting information out of a legacy system that is not up to speed, it's really, when you want to change something quickly, it's very, very difficult. So I think we're going to see that whole IT modernization trend really accelerate.
Interesting. Great perspective there. So overall, what are your 3 to 5 key takeaways for industry to be aware of in regards to this stimulus package?
Yeah, I mean, usually you say follow the money. In this case, I think that, you know, this legislation went out quickly. It's not very prescriptive on how to spend the money at all. But that being said, I would look at agencies are readjusting priorities on the fly. You know, if they have a system that's, you know, directly involved with pandemic response, that's going to take priority. I think that we're seeing things, people are readjusting priorities on the fly. I would go to where the priorities are, and they may be in some unexpected places. And I think this is a moving target. I think this is moving all the time. You really have to understand these agencies. But I wouldn't go just where direct money has been allocated. My second takeaway is you need to go in to address something on pandemic, this agency mission, you know, that affects their internal and external constituents. I think it's really a bad look to go in there right now on something that, you know, they're working on 2 years from now. I think you really, and the good thing is most people that have a capability or product can help them with something with pandemic. But I would really go in there. It's going to be, people aren't going to have the patience they might normally have to talk to a company that has a product or service that isn't going to help them with their mission right now. That's what they care about. They care about help right now. They'll worry about other things in a few months once the pandemic, you know, quiets down. I think that you need to go in there. I would focus my capabilities addressing this situation, this emergency situation right now. And then the third thing I would do is there is so much information that we haven't heard yet. There's so many things going on that I've tangentially heard inside agencies that would blow me away. And how do you get exposure to that? I would do an extra special job reading the trade press these days. I would really scour that and really try to understand that to see what the government needs are. There's been a lot more virtual events. You can't go to physical events anymore. That was kind of the thing that you would do in the past. You've got to really do your market research on virtual events. And really one thing that we're seeing at ATARC, and there's a lot of other good associations like ACT-IAC and others out there, is that we just gone overnight, we've gone to a platform like Zoom. And I think that our working groups are obviously much better attended by government than they ever were in the past. I mean, we're seeing 2 to 3 times as many active participants because people are working from home. But I think that this experience has been the biggest shock for me, that it is so much more collaborative to see somebody in person. It really is. It's much better than a conference call. It's much more engaging and you get a lot more out of it. So that's going to have to do when you can't go see people anymore. You know, when your whole routine is going to a government agency and meeting with folks, you're going to have to do that. You know, use your Zoom, use your Microsoft Teams or Cisco WebEx. Those platforms are seeing a 20x times usage as we've seen. I'm not sure exactly what it is in government, but 20x in industry, that's going to be a different way to do business in the future. And I think that you need to really understand that and adapt to it and get over yourself that you don't do Zooms, because that's the way everybody's working these days.
It sure is. Absolutely. You know, Tom, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. And for our last question, where can industry go to learn more information?
Well, there's been somewhat limited resources, I would say, is this has to coalesce, but all your normal channels A lot of SBIRs have come out, OTAs, you know, and I mentioned earlier, OMB, widened OTA access. In the future, you're going to see the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee. It'll be very similar to the RAT board that was done in the Recovery Act, and that'll show a lot of the projects going on. Some of the best websites I've seen is the GSA has one on their acquisition gateway, and we'll leave that as a takeaway here that looks pretty good. It's got a lot of links to the acquisition material. And then acquisition.gov has a coronavirus page that looks, you know, helps you with agencies that are reaching out. Those are the two newer sites that I've seen, and we'll include those as a takeaway.
Awesome. Good. Well, this is a wrap for this episode of the Real Talk for Government podcast series, where we break down the fact or fiction of federal policies and mandates with Tom Suter, founder and president of ATARC. As you heard, Tom was kind enough to provide a deep dive on the $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package and what it means for both the federal government and industry. Be sure to visit the Real Talk for Government channel at gmarku.com to download our Cliff Notes Q&A version of this podcast about this new stimulus package. The Real Talk's goal is simple: keep the policy and mandate conversations going to ensure industry is delivering on the promise of helping government to reach their missions. And Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt.